chapter 5, Solomon's repentance. Twice during Solomon's reign, the Lord had appeared to him with words of approval and counsel. In the night vision at Gibeon, when the promise of wisdom, riches, and honor was accompanied by an admonition to remain humble and obedient. And after the dedication of the temple, when once more the Lord exhorted him to faithfulness. Plain were the admonitions, wonderful the promises given to Solomon, yet of him who in circumstances, in character, and in life seemed abundantly fitted to heed the charge and keep the expectation of heaven, it is recorded, he kept not that which the Lord commanded. His heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. And so complete was his apostasy, so hardened his heart in transgression, that his case seemed well nigh hopeless. From the joy of divine communion, Solomon turned to find satisfaction in the pleasures of sense. Of this experience he says, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, I got me servants and maidens. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? And I hated life, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. By his own bitter experience, Solomon learned the emptiness of a life that seeks in earthly things its highest good. He erected altars to heathen gods, only to learn how vain is their promise of rest to the spirit. Gloomy and soul-harassing thoughts troubled him night and day. For him there was no longer any joy of life or peace of mind, and the future was dark with despair. Yet the Lord forsook him not. By messages of reproof and by severe judgments, he sought to arouse the king to a realization of the sinfulness of his course. He removed his protecting care and permitted adversaries to harass and weaken the kingdom. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, and God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, captain over a band, who abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. And Jeroboam, Solomon's servant, was a mighty man of valor. Even he lifted up his hand against the king. At last the Lord, through a prophet, delivered to Solomon the startling message, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Awakened as from a dream by this sentence of judgment pronounced against him and his house, Solomon with quickened conscience began to see his folly in its true light. Chastened in spirit, with mind and body enfeebled, he turned wearied and thirsting from earth's broken cisterns to drink once more at the fountain of life. For him at last the discipline of suffering had accomplished its work. Long had he been harassed by the fear of utter ruin because of inability to turn from folly, but now he discerned in the message given him a ray of hope. God had not utterly cut him off, but stood ready to deliver him from a bondage more cruel than the grave, and from which he had no power to free himself. In gratitude, Solomon acknowledged the power and the loving kindness of the one who is higher than the highest. In penitence, he began to retrace his steps toward the exalted plane of purity and holiness from whence he had fallen so far. He could never hope to escape the blasting results of sin. He could never free his mind from all remembrance of the self-indulgent course he had been pursuing. but he would endeavor earnestly to dissuade others from following after folly. He would humbly confess the error of his ways and lift his voice in warning lest others be lost irretrievably because of the influences for evil he had been setting in operation. The true